Well, we're in the middle of a series right now, and we've been talking about Romans chapter 8, looking at Mark Batterson's book, and we've come through a number of different aspects in this. We've talked about what God says about you from Romans chapter 8. God says that he's for you. He says you're not condemned. He says you got the power. He says you're mine. He says I have more for you. He says wait for it. He says it's all good. We talked about that last week, about how everything, all the events of our life, good, bad, and ugly, seem to funnel down through God's hands. And somehow when it gets poured out and filtered through the process of God Almighty involving your life, somehow that tough event comes out to be used in a good way for the Lord. If we trust him, if we love him and we're called according to his purposes, if we love God, he'll do amazing things in our life, even when it looks like it's not so good. God is good. He's good all of the time. All these messages you can get on our app as well, or go to livingfaithfellowship.com and you can pick those up as well. Please stand as we go through our scriptures this morning. We're going to read Romans 8, 34 and 33 and 34, just two chapters. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You may be seated. Thank you. Lord, thank you for your word. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. This week, what do we want to talk about from this particular passage? What does God say? What does God say about you? He says this. God says, no charge. Now, don't you like those? Aren't those like music to your ears? You know, if Pastor Tom goes to a hotel, if he goes to a hotel, he gets in there, he goes, oh, Mr. Weaver, we have upgraded you to the penthouse suite. With all of its surroundings, free breakfast, free lunch, free dinner, free everything. And, oh, for this upgrade, no charge. Do you think Pastor Tom is happy? Yeah, he's happy. He's wanting to know, where do we get that? No charge. No charge. If you were to get a phone upgrade and they said no charge, after you pick yourself up off the floor after a heart attack, you'd be, whoa, no charge? There's something about not being charged. There's something about getting it for free. There's something about, wow, all of this, and what's the deal? Oh, no, no charge. No charge. No charge. No charge. And that's what the Lord says to us. Look at this. Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? God's elect, those whom God has chosen. Who shall bring a charge against them? It's a rhetorical question, meaning no one can. No one can. Actually, probably anybody can. Anybody could accuse or bring a charge against any one of us, and especially the enemy always does. But it's to no effect. It's to no effect, and that's the issue. Who can bring a charge? Probably anybody, but the charge doesn't stand. Sorry, I'm getting yelly again. Where's Claire at? Claire's here. Claire, stand up, Claire. This is Claire. Everybody say hi to Claire. Claire, when she was taking Carpenter series, she wrote on her avowal, she says, I really enjoy the series, but why does he yell so much? And then Claire and I, we met today, and we chatted about it. I said, Claire, I'm just excited. I just get excited about stuff. I get excited. You have to understand, when I went to church, I hated church. I was bored in church. I didn't like church. I slept through church. I was hoping church would get done. And I said, when God picked me up by the back of the neck and put me into the ministry, and I didn't really want to go at first, that's for sure. I wanted to be a civil engineer. I was enjoying my job as a civil engineer, and all of a sudden, took a 47% cut in pay, came on staff, and I go, you know what? Lord, if you're going to make me do this, then I want people to know that when you come to church, you can laugh, you can have fun, it can be a blast. We can yell, we can scream, we can party, we can do it all, but we're not going to fall asleep, all right? We're not going to fall asleep. So, anyway, here we are today. Claire, it's loud. I said in our house there's volume and then there's Vance volume, and we like it loud. My wife was always saying, can you turn that down? Can you turn that down? And I said, yes, dear. and then turn it down. She leaves the room, turn it back up. Never mind. That's not a good way. I'm not a good example here. Going on, charge. What does the word charge mean? What does charge mean? To bring an account, to bring to account, charge, to criminate, to make a formal accusation or accuse in court, to press charges. You're going to see some of these terms we're going to talk about today are really courtroom language. They're legal actions. This charge, who brings a charge? Satan brings charges all the time. He's identified as the accuser of God's people. Let's look at Revelation 20, verses 10 through 11. Now, this is an end time prophecy. This is what's going to happen here. And again, we're in Revelation. If you're doing our daily reading schedule, which is also on the app, if you're doing that, you can also get it here we're reading Revelation right now. Revelation 12. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser, the devil, Satan, of our brethren, Christians, who accuse them before God day and night and day and night and day and night has been cast down. He gone. Hallelujah. I can hardly wait till we all go, he gone. Ding dong, the witch is dead. He's gone. He's out of there. There will be that day. And it'll be awesome. No more temptation, no more crying, no more dying, no more sighing. That is going to be an awesome time in our life. And we're going to be singing with the 10,000 times 10,000, which means an infinite number of people, about the glory and the awesomeness of God in heaven. It's going to be great. He's been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. They loved Jesus more than they loved their life themselves. Oh, God, get us to that point where we really love our relationship with Jesus Christ more than our own life. Because honestly, to be a Christian, we have to die, don't we? We have to die daily. Die to our own thoughts, our own ways, our own desires. And pick up the cross and follow him. But you know what? It's so awesome because the benefits are incredible. No charge. That's what's going to happen. But now there is an accuser. And he is accusing. The devil accuses us before God day and night, 24/7. He's talking garbage. He's talking smack. But one day it'll be in his face. The word accuse here means to be a plaintiff, to charge with some offense. Another legal or court term here, to bring serious charges or accusations against someone with a possible connotation of legal or court action to get him into trouble. You see, the devil accuses us before the Lord, but the Lord doesn't buy it. Talk to the hand, he says. The enemy is trying to talk into his ear, and God's going, talk to the hand. I ain't buying it, and I'm not listening. Because you see something? I sent my son to pay the penalty for this. Although there is a valid accusation, the accusation has been dealt with, paid for, and no longer stands. There is no charge. For all of your sins, there's no charge. Oh, it costs Jesus. But for us, no charge. No charge. When the enemy's talking about all the dirty, rotten, miserable things you've done throughout your life, and even the things we do now as we fall and come to some temptation and realize, I didn't handle that the way I should have. He's accusing us. But we go to the Lord. He says, no charge. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He watches and he looks and he tempts us. So he can accuse us, looking for something, putting stuff out there to try to mess us up, and then talking about how we messed up. Day and night. I agree with you. You know what that You're saying that he's Mr. Yuck. That's what you're saying. You're saying that he's Mr. Yuck. Mr. Yuck. That's who the devil is. We don't like him. Yeah. Say the same thing. Mr. Yuck. The accuser. He's the accuser. He's the user. He's the user of the brethren. He uses us for his own benefit. Who likes to be used by somebody? Somebody just takes advantage of you and just uses you, scams you, steals your money, takes your identity. Somebody that uses you. That's him. He uses you to be nothing more than a dispensable commodity, used and then discarded. He demoralizes us. He's awful. He's Mr. Yuck. The devil accuses, abuses, uses, and confuses. But you have to remember this, in the end, he loses. And that's how we need to live our life, understanding what the scripture said about the end. He loses, and there's no charge, no charge, no charge. No charge. No charge. I love that. No charge. No charge against us. If we repent. If we repent. You see here, repentance. And listen to this because it's very important. Repentance is an awesome gift from God. And repentance activates the provision provided at the cross and wipes the slate clean. Wipes the slate clean. Here it is. Here's all the junk in our life, right? Here's all the stuff in our life, all the sin in our life. And the enemy is accusing us before the Father. He's saying, hey, look at all the sin, conceitedness and foolishness and jealousy and dissensions and talking back and drunkenness and envy, obscene behavior, dirty language, all of this stuff. That's what your people are doing. That's your people. Look at them. And he goes, oh, you have to understand, there's no charge, no charge, no charge. You see, he comes through and he's the great eraser and he takes all of the junk, all of the garbage and he eradicates it, he erases it, he changes it and he forgives us. He wipes the slate clean. You know how you're getting to heaven? Do you know why you're getting to heaven? Because when you stand before God, when you stand before him and he looks for an accusation, he looks for a sin, he looks for an issue, and he looks at your slate and he goes, it's clean. It's clean. He's the big eraser. God has erased your debt. He's erased your sin. And the reason you get in is because there's no charge. What accusation? But he, I don't see it. It's done. It's been dealt with. You're free. And I'll tell you what. When you stand before God and you're at those gates and he's going to look at your record and the issues of your life, we're going to have to give account for what we've done for sure. But the sin issue, he's going to see that. A clean slate. Not because you're so clean. Not because you're so good. Not because of what you've done. But because God says, no charge. No charge. No charge. I took it. I paid for it. And it's done. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of the cross. I love the finger wag. Have you seen that? Have we got some up here? Do we have some? A couple of things about the finger wag. No. does that mean? What does this mean? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. The finger wag. I love it because God finger wags Satan. I love it. He just gives him the finger wag. No, 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 not in my house. Not in my house. He gives him the finger wag because he knows the story. He knows the truth. He's not buying into anything. But sometimes we buy into it. We let the enemy smack talk us, and he gets into our head, and we listen to it, and we get off our game. Oh, what the heck, geez, I've done that, I've done it. Yeah, I'm a louse. I'm going to go out and drink. And then we go on a bender because we're so bad. Because we let the enemy get into our head. God says, no, 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 no. God finger wags Satan, and so should we. No, 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 no. Hey, you're a creep. No, 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 no. You should go out and do this and click that and say that and do this and drink that and smoke that. And no, 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 no. No, no, no. No, no. Everybody do that. Do that. No. No, no, no. We need to do that. I mean, literally need to do that. When you're tempted, you need to go, no, 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 no. Somebody goes, what's going on? Who are you finger wagging? I'm finger wagging the devil. Little snot. Hate him. No, no, no. I'm serious. When you're tempted, I saw somebody, there's that scripture that talks about casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. I was walking one day and I went like that. And somebody go, oh, Pastor Phil, did you have a convulsion there? What happened? Like, well, I just, a thought came through my head. It wasn't right. And I just chucked her down. Just threw it down. I mean, seriously, you just need to be out there on campus and go, no, no. People look at you and go, what are you doing? I'm talking to the devil, man. Just telling him where he goes. Just tell him what I think about him. I'll give him a finger wag. Not in my house. And some of us need to say that, man. Not in my house. Not in my house. Not in my house. The enemy smacks. When he smack talks you, just finger wag him right back. Doesn't matter what the devil says. Plug your ears. It's meaningless. As long as we repent. As long as we got a clean slate. Eleanor Roosevelt said this, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Don't let the devil make you feel inferior or feel like, well, it doesn't matter anyway. Why not? I'm just going to go out and sin. I just can't help myself. I just can't stop it. Besides that, I'm a creep anyway. No, 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 no. That's not what God says about you. That's not what God thinks about you. That's not his heart for you. You know something? Jesus knows how it feels to be accused. We get accused sometimes, don't we? The enemy accuses us. Other people accuse us of something. You, bop, 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 wah, wah, wah. Jesus was accused in the gospel 13 times. Talks about 13 issues of accusation against him. Matthew 27. And while he was being accused, who's being accused by? The devil, those bad people, awful folk. No, the chief priests and elders, the religious folks. He answered them nothing. Mark 3:2, talking about the Pharisees. So they watched him closely. Ooh. Whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they, what? Might rejoice and say, whoa, he's healed. No, so they might accuse him. Luke 11:54. Lying in wait for him. Look at these guys. Lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. That's what the devil does. He's lying in wait, looking for the bad so he can slam you for something he can accuse you of. No, 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 not anymore. Not anymore, devil. That's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, look what he says to the Pharisees, he's accuser of the brethren. They're playing the devil's advocate. Jesus came here to save us. And the whole time the Pharisees were watching him, looking at him, and baiting him, trying to set him up so they could accuse him. The Pharisees truly were playing the devil's advocate. And that's why Jesus said to the Pharisees this, "You are of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand for the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." And that's your dad. Now that would be an ouch. Why? Why did he call him that? Because they were accusing him. They were accusing him. They were accusing him. Satan accuses, but Jesus excuses. Satan accuses, but Jesus excuses. Not flippantly, "Oh, that's okay." No, he goes, "No, I'm going to go to the cross. I paid for that. It was a severe penalty. I paid for that with my life, but you're free now." Satan accuses, but Jesus excuses. My question is this: are you an accuser or an excuser in your life? Do you do more accusing or excusing of people, helping people, loving people? Or do you find all the bad in them? You have to understand this. You become an accuser, you're doing the devil's work. He just accused people. He just accused them, brought up all their crap, brought up all their garbage, brought up all their junk. I think we're most like Jesus when we excuse, when we help, when we extend, when we love. We're most like the enemy when we point the finger and accuse. You see, instead of pointing the finger and accusing, maybe you should move into that person's life with love and help them. Anybody can point a finger and accuse everybody of everything. It takes somebody with real guts and personality to move into that person's life and help them there. That's what Jesus did. He moved into your situation, and he does all the time. And he helps you. He helps you. He helps you. He's not accusing you. He's saying, "I excuse you because of what I did for you on the cross at Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for what you did for me." It's funny, though, that all these religious leaders were accusing him. And the hated Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, couldn't find anything to accuse him of. He's a Roman. He's a Gentile. He's from not around here. You don't even get a place. And he's not accusing him. The religious leaders were. Ouch. Because Jesus knows how it feels to be accused. He's there for you when you're accused. And he finger wags. No, no, no. No, 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 Satan. No, no, no. And he hits you on the shoulder and says, "Come on, Phil. Come on, get it up there. Get it up. Get it. Oh, looking good. Look at, now say it like you mean it. Now get a tough face. Say it like you mean it. Let it go. Wag it, baby. Wag it, baby." "Oh, no, no, no. No, no, don't give a no, no. He gave you more power than that. No, no. No, no, no. Wag it, baby." The devil accuses you because of what you've done. I'm telling mom. Remember your brothers and sisters. I'm telling mom. I'm telling mom. Why do they want to tell mom? To get you in trouble. Yeah. Get you in trouble. That's why he's accusing you. To get you in trouble. The accusation may be true, but it has no effect because the slate is now clean. Satan brings you before the judge and accuses, but Jesus excuses. Continuing on, it is God who justifies. It is God who justifies. The devil's accusations are valid because they are based on the believer's sinfulness and defilement. But Satan's accusations will be thrown out of court because it's God who justifies. The judge himself declares the accused person righteous on the basis of his faith and forgiveness in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Jesus speaks in your defense. He's the best defense attorney anywhere, and he's yours. And he looks at every accusation and says, no, 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 not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. I've already paid for them. I've already paid for them. I've already paid for them. The enemy is our adversary, but we have an advocate. In John, 1 John 2, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. Hey, church, don't sin. Don't do that. Stand stronger than that. Stand strong. Don't give in. You have the power in Christ. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. Who is it? A great defense attorney? Who could be? Okay. Now, let me tell you, if you have any problems, any sin issues, any stuff like that, let me tell you, we're going to give you the creator of the universe to help you. Well, okay, I guess if that's all you got up there. The creator, he's on your side. Dude, that blows me away. He's our defense attorney. The all-knowing, the all-awesome, our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Thank you, Jesus. The word advocate here, it means an intercessor, a counselor. It's the word paraclete, or parakletos. It means paraclete, that another word for the Holy Spirit as well. The paraclete, an intercessor, a counselor, one called alongside of a person. Your friend, an advocate, comes alongside of you. This word comes back, paraclete is a military term referring to Roman soldiers who would fight back to back when they got into hand-to-hand combat. They protected each other's backside and blindside, and that's what Jesus and the Holy Spirit do for us. They protect you. They protect you. They protect you. I've always, when I was talking to the staff as I was putting this message together and we were chatting with someone, I go, you know, it's amazing to me, the enemy knows he loses. The enemy knows he loses. And if he knows he loses, then it's like, you know, hey, you're going to lose, dude. You're going to lose. You're lost. It's out of here. You're gone. You're the fiery pit. Dude, that's where you're going. He knows that, I think. And Pastor Joe, as we were chatting back and forth, and he said, you know, I think it's like the devil's philosophy is this. If I can't fulfill my dreams, at least I can ruin yours. In a lot of football teams, the rivalries, you know, if we can't go there, we're going to make sure you don't go there either. Well, I just have a good rival. But our enemy, the devil, he wants to ruin us. He wants to ruin us. He tempts us with all stuff and tells us it's going to be great, but it's not. His whole intent is to ruin us. The devil treats us like dirt, and Detroit treats us like we're winners. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe said this, treat a man as he is, and he will remain as he is. Treat a man as he can be and should be, and he will become as he can be and should be. And no one modeled that better than Jesus Christ when he took the 12 disciples and all of the people, and he saw something more than they saw in themselves. And Jesus today, as he comes into your life, sees more in your life than you see in it yourself. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. The Pharisees treated people as they were. Jesus treated people as they could be. How do you treat people? Accuse, excuse. Do you treat them as they can be? Do you treat them with a vision that God has something greater than where you are? Verse 34. Who is he who condemns? Well, that's the devil. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also, say it with me, makes intercession for us. Wow. I thought he was done. I mean, he did a great thing on the cross, right? I mean, that took a lot of guts, a lot of,
All that he died on the cross and all the pain, all the agony, all the blood. You think that, hey, go to heaven now, rest for a while till we all get there. Dude, you did a great job. No, 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 he didn't rest. He's making intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25 also talks about Jesus here. Therefore, he, Jesus, is also able to save us to the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. 24/7, Jesus is interceding for you. 24/7, the devil is trying to accuse you. 24/7, Jesus is interceding for you. Don't buy it. Wag the finger. Don't do it. Don't give it. He's praying for you. He's interceding for you. The power of the Creator is on your side. Intercession, to speak to someone on behalf of someone else, to intercede. He's there representing you before the Father, saying, oh, no, no, Dad, remember. I know what the devil's saying. No, no, Dad, remember. No, no, Dad, remember here. Hey, remember. Hey, guys, remember. You're clean. I paid for that. Hey, don't do that. No, don't click on that. Don't say that. No, 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 don't take that. No, no, no. Hey, change that. No, don't drink that. No, no, don't do that. It'll just hurt you. I got a better plan. Hey, do this. Oh, touch that. Yeah, do. Are we willing to follow him? He's interceding for us. He's interceding for us. He intercedes against the attacks of the devil. Jesus is looking out for you 24/7. It's not just you. It's not just you. I love this story about during a game in the 1990 NBA season, Michael Jordan, he dropped 69 points on the Cleveland Cavaliers. After the game, a reporter asked Stacey King, I don't know if you've got one. Stacey was one of his fellow player with him. The reporter asked Stacey King, how would you remember that epic performance? Stacey King had watched most of the game from the bench. He only scored 1 point in the game. And that's what makes his response such a classic. Stacey King said, I'll remember this as the night MJ and I combined for 70 points. Me and MJ were on fire that night. I remember it. I remember it well. He and I, 70 points. 70 points. We're partnered teammates with the Lord God Almighty. You put your one in, but remember, he's putting in 70 times 70 times 70 times 70 in for you. I'll tell you what, he's better than having Michael Jordan on your team. Michael Jordan's 53 now. He can still slam dunk over most all of us here. You and the living God. You and the living God. You and the living God. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can change. You can be a different person. You can say no to that. How you see God will dictate how you see yourself, see your future, and see your life. Any astigmatism in how you see God will distort your vision of everything else. When you picture God, is he frowning at you or smiling at you? Is he laughing or is he standoffish? Is he warm and welcoming with arms open wide? How do you view him? It's amazing sometimes about how we view ourselves. A couple of slides here. What I feel like when I stop at a red light next to the ladies. What I really look like on the bottom there. The next one. What I think I look like when I'm swimming. What I actually look like. Next one. What I feel like when I run. What I'm pretty sure I actually look like. It's funny that we always have these great thoughts about ourselves. We're probably pretty great and all that. What are your thoughts about God? Because sometimes they're inaccurate. We think he hates me. He's really mad at me. He's really, I just sinned last night. I shouldn't have done that. I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but I did. And I know now he just hates me. He's mad at me. He's saying, go away in the corner for a while until you do penance. Figure this thing out and then drag yourself back on your hands and knees, pushing a penny to me. What are our thoughts? He's always on the edge of his seat waiting for you. He's always got a smile. Dude, what you did was wrong. Yeah, it was. Is he disappointed? I'm sure he is. But that disappointment goes, you know what? We can do better next time. We can do it. We can do this. Come on, come on. Hey, come on. Hey, don't roll around in condemnation and junk. Come here. Come on back here. The enemy wants you to roll around in condemnation and run through the stink hole and just get yourself. Come on. No, come here. Come here. We got to talk. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I got this. It's going to be good. He's for you. He's not against you. When you sin, he's not going, again, you creep. He's going, again, come on back. Come on, we can do this. We can do it. Come on. Come on. Come on. We got it. We got this. We got this. I'm going to help you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm for you. No, I'm not leaving you. I'm not going to forsake you ever, ever. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. What comes to our minds when we think about God, Tozer said this, what comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us, because it will determine whether you will run toward him or run away from him. When you're in trouble, he wants us running to him in the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's here for you. Jesus is interceding for you. We found out that a few verses before that the Holy Spirit's praying for you. We got the Holy Spirit praying for us. We got Jesus praying for us. I mean, that's a divine double team right there. That's amazing. And then we got the Lord God Almighty who's up there who's saying he's for you, not against you. I mean, that's the trifecta right there. All for you. Don't run away from him. Run to him. He loves you. He cares about you. He's there for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We can get ready for communion. Go ahead. We're going to get ready for communion. Before that, I felt before the Lord I need to do one other thing. I need to talk about the election. I'm not talking about the election or the elect of the Lord here, the biblical sense. I'm talking about the one that will happen on Tuesday. My concern isn't as much for the candidates as it is for the morality of our nation. I'm saddened at the direction our nation is going, in its relationship to Christ, in its relationship to morality, in its relationship to what this nation was established on, religious freedom, to come and worship God, to come and proclaim his name, to come and lead people to Christ. And more and more and more now, the Christian, which is the biggest voting bloc there is, are silenced because of fear, because of all sorts of stuff. We don't stand up for what's right anymore. We sit down for tolerance. We don't declare what we should do. We just do what everyone else is doing. And we need to make some changes. We need to stand up, or we'll lose what we have. I think we need to vote for people who want to do the right thing. People who maybe aren't Christians. God used Cyrus, who was not a Christian,
who was a wicked man, to release the Jews to come out of captivity and provided funding for them and everything else. And every king after that followed suit and allowed them to establish their nation once again. We need to vote for people who will do the right thing. Put right people in offices. But the biggest thing is this, folks. We need to have a gut level change so our whole nation can have one. 2 Chronicles 7:14, talking about their nation. If my people, not the bad people, not the people going wayward, if my people, the people that know me, the people that love me, if my people who are called by my name, Christians, will humble themselves, get on their knees, cry out to God, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. Not the wicked ways of the nation. Ours. Ours. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us to change. You're such a loving and caring Father and have so much for us, and you look at us with your bright countenance in your face and you're drawing us in. But God, help us to turn from our wicked ways. What will He do? What will He do? What will God do? What will God do? God will hear from heaven. He will forgive their sin, and He will heal their land. God, we need our land healed. We need you back in our nation. We need you back in our schools. We need you back in our Congress. We need you back in the presidency. We need you back, oh God. I know we've kicked you out. I know we said, oh, we have to be tolerant. But God, we need you. We need you. Heal us. Heal us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. You know, communion is a time where we remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. The juice represents His blood. The cracker represents His body that was broken. The blood poured out. The body disfigured beyond all recognition. You couldn't tell that it was even a man up there. He was disfigured and he was bleeding and he was bruised and he looked awful. We remember that because that was the price that had to be paid for sins. When we come and take communion, we go, Lord, I remember. Thank you. Thank you. We take the cracker. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did for us. Now change me. Heal me. Transform me, God. Let the fullness of who you are come alive inside of me. That's what we remember at communion. We're thankful for what He did. That's why we do it just once a month. I don't want it to become something we always do, so it's just a habit. We don't even think about it anymore. Instead, we think, Jesus, you did, Jesus, you did this for me. And oh God, I want to do something for you. I want to come running into your arms. I want you to forgive me my sin and change my life. Jesus, we remember. We remember. We remember. We remember. And it's only because of you that we have eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Communion here it's not a closed table. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're welcome to partake. They're going to play a song and just come grab a cracker, grab a juice, and then on your own partake of it. But before you partake, look Him in the eyes. Ask Him to forgive you whatever you need to have forgiveness of. And ask Him to help you. Ask Him to help you be
who He's called you to be. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Lord.